Unpolished Little Gems, Episode 8, Reflections. Jane is learning the pitfalls of staying friends with your ex on Facebook. Does Anyone Know stars Emma Austin and was written by Tracy Haywood.
I need your help. I've been a bit silly and I'm not quite sure what to do. It's been a very difficult week for me and I've not coped very well. It's just very difficult to have your ex-boyfriend stay friends on Facebook. We said we would stay friends on social media to keep things civilised. Well, how civilised is it to break up with your girlfriend of 3 years and start dating someone else 4 weeks later and to start posting it shamelessly all over Facebook? I really can't take all the blame here. Anyway, it was a Friday night and I'd come back home after work drinks. It was my first time in the new flat alone on a Friday night after a few drinks and I honestly wasn't looking to see it. But it's there, isn't it? At 9 p.m, James had posted a photo of him and his new girlfriend. They were sat in a bar looking all fancy, holding matching programmes and glasses of wine, and he had written in his status, "Night out seeing hashtag National Symphony Orchestra at hashtag London Palladium with this one." Do you want to know the last thing he took me to see? It was The Avengers, which I didn't even want to see. It was his suggestion. But you know what it looks like, don't you? It looks like he was the cultured, sophisticated one in the relationship, and I was holding him back. But I'm not. I'm far more sophisticated than him. It was me who suggested we watch the Louis Theroux documentaries, not him. I'm the cultured, sophisticated one, and he was holding me back. So I had a quick Google and posted, "Does anyone know where you can get tickets to see a show at the National Opera House?" That will show him. He thinks he's the only one who can go to fancy places in London. He's not the only one. I can go too. And I left it like that and went to bed. No big deal. I woke up the next morning, and again, I didn't go looking for it. It was just there in my feed. He had posted again. It was a photo of them outside a coffee shop with these teeny tiny cups of espresso. He had written, "Perfect start to the weekend away with my girl. Hashtag Rome, hashtag espresso, hashtag the Dolce Vita." He doesn't even like espresso. He drinks Nescafe. My girl? Who does he think he is? Macaulay Culkin? The Temptations? My girl, honestly, my near stranger I've only known for 3 weeks, more like. I've got sunshine on a cloudy day with my girl who has only known me for 3 weeks and has never had to sit next to me on the sofa watching Downton Abbey while I alternate between picking my nose and picking my feet, more like. But there he is with his stupid espresso and his stupid tiny cart with his stupid new girlfriend. It was me, who wanted us to go to Paris this year on a mini break. And he said he was too busy. He said he couldn't get the annual leave. Well, someone's got some annual leave from somewhere, hasn't he? What did he do? Make the year longer? I had to come back with something, didn't I? I couldn't have people think I was sat at home watching Game of Thrones while he was out living the Dolce Vita in Rome. So I posted, "Does anyone know if you need a visa to visit Bhutan? Hashtag travel broadens the mind. Hashtag wherever I lay my hat's my home. I'm not planning on going, but I could. That was that. And then on Sunday night, he posted again. It was a photo of them in a garden, sat on a sheet with an old dresser half painted in duck egg blue, with her holding up a paintbrush with the caption, "Does anyone have any furniture they want upcycling? Me and the girl are looking for pieces to develop to build up our portfolio for our new upcycling business. Reasonable rates offered. Please contact us for a quotation. Hashtag living our best lives. Hashtag being your own boss. Hashtag dream it, believe it, live it." Can you believe it? Like he knows anything about upcycling or portfolios or reasonable rates. It was me who said he needed a hobby. Me who found him all those meet-up groups. Me who brought him that furniture book. What did he do with it all? Nothing. Nothing until he met his girl, that is. And he's growing a beard. I always said he would look better with a beard. He said it would be too hot in the summer and he would get food stuck in it. Not such a big problem now, is it, with his sweaty food-covered beard with bits of ginger and grey in? I couldn't take it. I'm the enterprising one out of the two of us, not him. I've been saying for years I've still got my old guitar back at my parents' house and I needed to start learning again. Well, I wasn't going to take it lying down, so I sort of lied a bit. Not much, just a bit. I picked up the guitar from my parents and I'd laid it down on a patchwork blanket next to a lit candle and a Beatles vinyl album and posted the caption, looking to get back into hashtag making music, hashtag music makes the world go round, hashtag music is my life. Does anyone know anyone looking to take guitar lessons, looking to get back to my first love? Please contact me. And I left it like that. But then on Monday morning, I woke up to a response. It was from my ex-boss. He posted, "Could you do Tuesdays? Zachary's guitar teacher has just moved out of London and I'm looking for a replacement." So I replied, "I would love to teach little Zachary. Tuesdays are perfect for me." Then he replied with, "That's great news. We were not sure what to do with him as we are both working late on Tuesday and hadn't found a replacement yet. I will send him round to yours for 6 p.m. Which was a bit sooner than I thought, but still, music is my first love after all. He's just a kid. I can teach him a few chords and then brush up on my skills over the coming weeks. So I replied, "Perfect, I will see him then." And he replied with, "Great, he's grade 7, so you know how to pitch the lesson. He's taking his grade 8 exam in 2 weeks' time." So I googled, "What is guitar grade 8? And the description said, "Pupils should be acquiring a greater range of physical and expressive techniques, including damping, double stopping, legato and staccato, fretting and whammy bar vibrato, hammer-ons and pull-offs, as well as accents. They will be experimenting with a greater range of dynamics and continue to develop the ability to play with stylistic authority." And then I remembered, I'd only managed to learn to play Wonderwall when I was playing guitar as a teenager. I'd meant to do more, but I just hadn't. And now apparently a freakishly talented 12-year-old is just turning up to my house in 5 minutes to learn how to practice for a grade 8 music exam. So when he arrives, I need you to answer the door and tell him I've had to go to Bhutan last minute for a concert and then teach him in my place. That's okay, isn't it? I'll just hide upstairs. Oh, he's here now. I'll be upstairs. Thanks. Bye.
Childhood Memories Can Last a Lifetime. Sticks and Stones stars Maddie Salter and was written by Tasman Pinder.
It really only hit me when I was on the National Express bus back to London. I never normally took the bus, but this time I was trying to save money. And the train was so much more expensive, and I figured I'd read and get some work done on the journey. The extra 2 hours travel time wasn't a major issue. We went past your old school, and I saw those boys flooding out to the school gates, caps and gowns flaring out behind them. It was that type of school. An upturned drawing pin set carefully on seats, thistles in blankets, boys lassoed with ties by the neck in the playground, type of school. Character building. The type of school which produced statesmen, big hitters, power brokers. The type of school in which Latin proficient 11-year-olds would politely inquire, "May I carry your books, miss?" prior to attending a debate on the merits and demerits of Marxism. I imagine you at every age. You at 35 and you at 22. What must that have been like? You, a gangly antelope of a young man at 18, awkward and arrogant, and you, as a 12-year-old boy. Here, amongst the boys standing at the school gates. Hard to believe that lithe 6'5" frame was once a fat little boy, and that your effortlessly commanding presence was once the subject of ridicule. I looked at those boys, and I thought of you. Swaddled in a too big jumper and blazer, tie choking around the collar. I thought of you sitting in your kitchen, watching the snooker on a black and white TV with your father, listening to the desperate sobbing of your mother in an upstairs bedroom where she sat and cried every night, knowing that you never wanted to go back to that school, knowing how unhappy you were. She was working 3 jobs to pay for your school fees. Your teacher had competitions in which he'd line up all the boys, measure their feet, and then stand and stare in stupefied amazement and say he'd never seen feet as big as yours. And everyone would laugh. And he'd put all the boys into a line and measure their tummies, then stand back and declare in astonishment, "I've never seen anyone with a stomach so big as yours," and everyone would laugh. Then when he'd line up the boys for a competition to measure their heads, he'd announce that he couldn't believe anyone had a head so big, and everyone laughed. When you said, "Maybe I should write to him and ask why he did those things to me," and I replied, "What would be gained? You're successful. What's to be achieved by that? There's not a possibility for closure. There must be something inherently wrong with the man to be jealous of a child." I wanted to tell you about my terror at the hands of Charlotte Lamarche, with her bright blue eyes and cascading Herbal Essences blonde locks. A 5'1" grenade who tortured and paralysed my every move. The innumerable competitions she'd organise with the girls at school. Who was the prettiest? Who was the funniest? Publicly ranked in order from the highest scoring to the lowest. According to Charlotte's reckoning, I scored big fat zeros across the board in every category from attractiveness to humour, in every one of her games from 11 to 16 years old. I wanted to tell you that I'd sweat and stand mute in groups where she was. And when we were on the school bus home and we sat together, my heart beat. My hands clasped in front of me for fear of judgment or failure. And it meant so much, that failure. It was crushing. I wish I'd told you about Charlotte. About my feelings of panicky dread, about what she'd say to them, about my hair, or my clothes, my gait, my posture, about the way I spoke, or how I held my hands together whilst I looked out of the window of the school bus. I dreaded every moment around Charlotte. Her snide words, her mocking eyes. And the boys loved her. Herbal Essences. Soft, wide blue eyes. She was funny. She was alive. Yet she made me feel small, unattractive, worthless. She was vindictive. For me, school was an adventure which happened to someone else. The photos are events in someone else's life, and I've been photoshopped into them. But you balanced everything out for me, because we understand each other. And the last day I was with you, I remember the way you touched my cheek with the back of your hand, and searching my face, you asked me, "How does it feel to be prettier and cleverer than everyone else?" And I, embarrassed, looked away. Then, feeling your eyes still on me, I turned back to you. And you said, "I'm not that clever. And I like that you don't let me get away with anything." But you were wrong, because I did. I let you leave me.